across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yes, the program that brings you the latest breaking news at drive time. The American Adversaries is on live for the next hour, courtesy of News Talk 660 WORL. Of course, you've heard about the shooting at the Capitol. But I, Blair Adams, your nefarious reporter extraordinaire, can now report to you, it's because of the government shutdown and the GOP. Just you wait. That's the tack the liberals will take. And the Republicans, the mighty tough Republicans, will say, oh, you are so right. We need to be more like the left. But instead, we did cause global warming, the bad economy, the problems in the Middle East, staggering health care costs, all these. But if America will just give us a chance, she'll see we can be just like the Democrats and avoid the tough path of conservatism and take their much easier path of the progressives. My co-host will tell you the easiest path is the one that goes over a cliff. Christopher Hart!
Just watch out for that first step. Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time on a beautiful fall afternoon here in Central Florida. And 407-774-8255 is that number. Because we are live, that means you can call and talk to us tonight. And I think we've got another great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to finish off the show once again tonight talking with Colonel Danny McKnight. As some of you may know, today marks the 20th anniversary of the beginning of the mission that turned into what we now know as Black Hawk Down. Started on a Sunday evening, October 3rd, 20 years ago. Started out as a, well, let's just call it a routine mission. And as is routine, the Rangers and Delta Force guys actually accomplished the mission. Unfortunately, it was what happened after the mission that those days are remembered for. So we'll be talking once again with Danny McKnight at the end of the show. In the meantime, we have in the studio live with us, I am Christopher Hart, along with Blair Adams. We have Mike McBath, who's back with us. He's with the NFL Ex-Players Union Association, and he sits on the board of that. And, of course, he was a player for the Buffalo Bills back in his playing days. Mike, thanks again for being with us tonight.
It's always fun.
And we have Reggie Branch, who is a Super Bowl champ with the Washington Redskins, who's also with us tonight. Hey, Reg.
Hey, nice to be here, though. It's like, yo. Thanks, we got to win this past week.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, we're been beaming. Yeah,
he's beaming. He is excited.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, well, 1-3. I don't know. Is it 1-3 or 1-2?
We're 1-3, but we're on our way, though.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, we still got, like, how many more games?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
RG3 is
we good. Still can get to the playoffs.
Okay, at least RG3 is no longer 0-3. So we'll talk about some football with these fellas here in just a few minutes. And first I want to remind you, though, folks, this week and last week we've been focusing on an organization called Feed the Children. You can find out much more about them at feedthechildren.org. But basically, they feed children and needy families in our community, in the communities all across the United States, even in some international countries. But they focus on the United States and our country here. They have something called the Americans Feeding Americans Caravan. We'd like you to help us, help them out. Just go to 660WORL.com or give them a call at 866-326-6669 and make a donation. That's 660WORL.com or 866-326-6669. And the best part is every dollar that you donate will be turned magically, so to speak, into $5 worth of goods. Mike, you are in the finance business. You're very successful after your playing career in the finance business. Have you ever heard of a deal where just by making the investment you get a five times return on your money?
Honestly, when you think about that, I mean, what a wonderful opportunity for people to, in essence, to multiply the money for the poor. Because, you know, in many cases, if you give $100, $100 is $100.
Right.
Well, I like it when $100 is $500. And if it's certainly going to provide food for the poor, you know, what a great opportunity for everybody to choose, you know, an organization that they think they're getting their money's worth.
That's right. And they don't match it. They quintuple it.
I like that. Because, you know, there's too many out there where, you know, you give them your dollar and they keep 80 cents and the guy gets 20 cents.
Yeah.
Yo, how about 5-1? I sort of like that, don't you?
I sure do.
Yeah, this organization is very tight on that, Mike. They really very close on that. So much of this goes towards the people they're trying to help.
Yeah, 85 to 90%, you know, varies a little bit because of the times of the year and stuff. But 85 to 90% of every dollar that they raise actually goes to the needy people.
And I always think that it's so important that individuals do understand with these charities, which charities are paying, like you say, 85 to 90 cents out, and which charities are absolutely ransacked by the people that run them.
You mean like CARE?
Or actually one of the worst charities is via the government.
And how about UNICEF?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And to think I used to carry one of those boxes and collect pennies at Halloween.
I go like this.
Did you ever do that, Reggie?
Yeah. No.
Collect money for UNICEF? All right. Well, listen, we already have a caller who has a question for Mike. So let's get a sports question. Let's get it started with that.
Go ahead, Mike.
And then I want to talk some sports with these fellows here, too. So, Michael, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Yes, I had a question for Mr. McBath and wondered if him or Reggie ever played any sports after football, like maybe golf or bowling.
They try to play golf.
I mean, you know, Reggie, in my opinion, is a great athlete. You know, I mean, he's probably one of the top athletes out there. But he's a little short and real short in golf. You know what I mean?
driver's the guy that got him there.
Well, actually, he's coming along. He's playing better and better. And we actually hired a professional to work with him, so we think he's going to be one of the top players.
Michael, go ahead. You want to follow up?
Well, yeah, I know there's a lot of guys that go out and try to play a game, and, you know, if they try to play golf, maybe they're better at bowling where the lanes keep the ball inside the playing.
You got some good jokes.
Well, you know, it is true, Reggie. You do have a...
I wondered if you had run into that or not.
Well, Reggie has a bowling tournament. Maybe you can tell us how you do that, Reggie.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the tournament, though. It's a great thing that you do.
Well, the main thing, though, is like what I do, though, is like I come back home and I give back to like different causes, you know, around my area, though, in Sanford. So the thing about it, though, is like I didn't have it this past year, though, but I'm going to have it this coming up, you know, next year in 2014. But the thing about it, though, let's get off this bowling thing, man, and get back to as the person that just called. So let's understand this, though, as where you guys go, you and Mike McBath, as Mike, and as a situation, you guys go to, like, Aliqua. That's your home team. I mean, home course. So you guys should know the course and understand the course. And I know it's not an easy course, but you know what? You keep giving me tips, I will beat you guys.
Like that attitude.
Like I say, you know, he's not going to have a golf tournament. He's going to have a bowling tournament. That speaks for itself.
Now, if I join that bowling tournament, do you promise you put the bumpers out for me?
I guarantee you have the bumpers, and we are not the ones that you don't knock down.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Everyone wins, right? Like, the new competition, everybody wins today.
We appreciate you calling, Michael. Thank you for being out there. And, folks, if you have any questions for these fellas, 407-774-8255. Now's your chance to call up and ask the pros questions about football, be it college or pro.
They're here to answer it for you. Speaking of which, what do you guys think about this nonsense of giving everybody an award for just playing? I mean, really, we could get rid of a lot of problems now if the NFL just got rid of this winning stuff. You know, you just play a game and everybody comes out and pats you on the back and applauds.
I think when you're called a professional, doesn't that mean sort of like a gladiator? There's only one winner.
But that's
in
so
the
mean.
End. Sorry. I mean, if you're any good in your business or anything else, you're constantly competing. And I really do feel sorry for kids and families that aren't taught to compete at all ages. You know, this idea that, geez, we're all supposed to be the same and all of us do nothing is a joke. And that's a sad idea that's been perpetuated in our society.
It's getting worse.
We want to develop the best people we can, and we want them to be as effective as they can, whether it's sports, education, whatever field they choose.
Reggie, if you were a kid playing a game, would you want it to be set up so that you could only lose by so much, or would you just rather, you know, play the game out? Because in California, they're going to start fining Pop Warner coaches for running supposedly running up the score on the other team. To you as a kid, did it matter so much how much you lost or just that you lost?
Well, you know, the main thing, I can say this, though, as growing up in Sanford, though, as a situation, though, back in the days, as growing up as playing Pop Warner, I mean, I didn't even play Pop Warner, but playing Sandlot, that's what I meant. And as a situation, though, as going out there, we competing against each other, and we had our team over here and our team over here, and we played against...
You played to win!
The neighborhoods, and the next neighborhood and all that, we played to win. We ain't played like the tie. We ain't played like, oh, you played a good game, I played a good game. No, we played to have the opportunities. We won this time, so we're going to have the opportunity to play again. So you have the opportunity to win next time.
Yeah, so losing, even if you get beat bad, if you're the true athlete, it's an inspiration to play harder the next time.
Oh, most definitely, though.
Is that kind of what you're saying,
yeah,
too, Mike?
Why would you ever participate in anything unless you wanted to try to achieve the goal of being the very best? I don't
that's
get
right.
it. Hey, I really want to play today so I can just be average.
When I was going to college, I took up tennis for a little while.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I always tried to play against the best. Beat the competition I could. I knew they'd beat my brains out, but I felt that it would make me work harder on the court, and seeing them play would give me tips rather than playing somebody that was only as good as me. I didn't feel like I'd ever go anywhere that way.
And Reggie, if you did a hit on a guy and it was a good hit, did you ever worry that, oh, he may look bad, he may not get picked up next season because I got a good hit on him? No, I'm sorry.
No, I did.
You play to win.
What I did, though, I did what my coach asked me to go out and do. So it was a situation to go out and win. And that's what the name of the game. If I could stop him behind the line, or if I could make a fumble from this kid or this person, it's like, yo, that's my job to go out and do. And that's what it is.
I can remember even at Penn State, one of Paterno's sayings was every day, and no matter what you do, you're going to get a little bit better or a little bit worse. And then he'd finish it off by saying, and if you're playing here, you better be getting a little bit better.
We got to go to the break. But there's a whole lot that politicians can learn from a conversation like this right here. So that's why we do it on the American Adversaries. When we come back, I want to talk about some Tim Tebow. I want to talk about some RG3. And I want to talk about this quarterback Freeman just got released by the Bucks over here. We're going to do that with Mike McBath and Reggie Branch.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries, and we're having a great conversation here today with Mike McBath and Reggie Branch, a couple of great ex-NFL football players who still have it in their blood. And, Reggie, you were saying something during the break, and by the way, 407-774-8255 is the number, that I thought was a fantastic quote. And I think it applies as much to politics and a lot of other things in life as it does to sport. And you correct me if I'm wrong, I think I got it right. You said when it comes to performance, it's not what you have done for me. It's not what you have done today. It's what you can do tomorrow that's important.
And that's what it's all about. That's what I was taught, too, though, as playing for the Washington Redskins. Just like if I played a good game last week, I want to play a great game next week and the next week and the next week to let the coaches know I'm here to stay. Not just like I'm here just for a day or a weekend, and like, yo, you ready for me to go home? Because, you know, Coach Gibbs taught us that. It was a situation, you know, it's like any time you can, like, be cut at any given day if you're not doing the right things. So that's what I'm talking about, is telling anybody that's what you got to be persistent, and you got to have that goal to, like, keep going every week and produce every week. The main thing, what it was all about, though, as playing for the Redskins, it was a situation, you know, I had to produce every week. it wasn't like, okay, I did a great job that week, and I was supposed to, like, slack down the next week. But the main thing, I want to do even better the next week to let the coaches know I'm sincere about what we're trying to accomplish. And that's what most of the guys are always talking about. They want to take it to that next level as the let's try to get to the playoff. We don't talk about no Super Bowl because it's not Super Bowl in acclimate, you know. It just comes out to a point. You want to talk about what's happening right now as you're trying to get it to that next level, as get to the playoff.
That brings to mind a question, Mike, I want to pose to you, because you've been an owner of a team, the
right.
Orlando Predators.
Right, the Predators, we have our training camp, same level of competition,
yep.
You know, maybe just a little less of an athlete, but they're all given 100%.
Right? And plus you wrote, didn't you tell me one time that you wrote your doctoral?
Well, I wrote my master's thesis. I took the year before OJ got to Buffalo and the year he got there, and then I tried to prove whether he was underpaid or overpaid based upon the increase mm-hmm. in TV revenues, advertising, merchandising, everything else. And the conclusion was
he was way underpaid.
And that
time,
was really yeah. symbolic of all, you know, particularly the star athletes, you know, because
what did OJ get his first season with the Bills? Do you remember?
I remember.
It was probably like $50,000 or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Well, the main contract I remember back in like 68 and 67 was, remember Joe Namath?
Mm-hmm.
He signed a $400,000 deal, you know, which Ooh. Was for a multiple year. And the irony, too, is when you see these people sign like a six-year contract for all this money, what they really signed is a six-year, one-year contract. 1 year, right. 1 year, 1 year. So when they think this guy's going to get all this money, if he gets mm-hmm. cut, and that's, as Reggie said, you're as good as the game you're playing in, because the minute they cut you, you don't get that future money.
Nope.
The NBA has made a big mistake. They pay these fellows for 5-6 years out after they cut them, and that's why I would say right now, legitimately, 11 of the NBA teams are on the verge of bankruptcy. Can't do it that way. And again, what
and then you get these prima donna athletes who
yep.
they
oh.
got their guaranteed contract money, so they're going to behave the way they want to
behave.
We
always say they believe their own story. You know what I mean? They believe their own act. And yeah. Once you get into that case, you're on your way out.
Let me ask you this, too, Mike, and I want to get your opinion on this, too, Reggie. If you're, say, the coach or an owner of the team, are you more important? Is it more important to you have guys with just God-given sheer talent on the team, or guys who don't maybe have as much talent but work a whole lot harder?
Well, I think, and I'll let Reggie follow up on this, I really think you have sort of a combination of both. In other words, you know, there are some guys that truly aren't the greatest athletes, but boy, do you want them in your locker room, and do you realize that they'll give you 100% all the time? Because I used to kid around, there was a guy that was OJ's running mate, Al Cowings.
Yeah.
And, you know, Al, you know, and we competed for the same position, you know, and he was a number one draft choice. You know what that's like, Reggie, when they come yeah. into your position.
Right.
And I'm hanging on for dear life. But he just could never play the double team, and he couldn't take a straight-on block, you know. And the coach would always say, well, you know, Al's really a great athlete. And I said, well, look. Why don't we have Al show, throw the discus and the shot put, and then I'll just play the game for him.
Reggie, do the guys with the most talent sometimes turn out to be the biggest disappointments,
I guess, what I'm leading to? I can't say that. It all depends what position they're in or who they're playing for. It's a situation, you know, it's like I always said, and like I had one of the guys that came out from college, and he ended up going to San Francisco, and he was the number one pick. And the thing about it, though, as a situation, though, he ended up going as playing for San Francisco, and then he ended up coming to us because they traded him to us, and I watched him the first year. And I looked at him like, as a first-rounder, and as to come into what we're doing here in the NFC East, I think, you know, he's not going to make it. And you know what's so crazy about that? They cut him that same year.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, though, that's why I always say, it's not about what round you come in, or as a situation, you know, if you come in a first round, you got to be a first rounder. And you got to know what a first round is. And second and third and like, then you got to know what also as what a free agent is. You coming in to make the team. So you got to go out and do what you got to do to be a part of the team. That's what I was. So it's like, as I know, to be a part about all of that and see all these guys come in fifth round, sixth round, second, third, first, whatever. But it always comes down to a point, though, the coach is still going to look at it and say, can you play this game the way we want you to play this game and win this game? and, you know, to have the team out. That's what it comes down to, though. So,
Mike, now, Tim Tebow's talents aside, would the Jacksonville Jaguars be smart to bring him on?
Now, I think they would. And then the reason I say that, this team has, what do they average, 3 points a game? Or I mean, they're so pathetic. I would bring him on. And you know what? The minute we're down over 21 points, I'd put him in for a quarter, see how he does. How can you do worse? And the problem that Jacksonville faces is going to be total lack of enthusiasm by their ticket holders, massive drop in tickets next year. And you know what? We'll see you in London in 2 years. I don't believe Jacksonville will be there 2 years from now if something dramatically doesn't change. And I just think having a kid like that in your locker room might be able to lift some of these players up, because I can't believe one team is that much better than the other, but something's wrong in that locker room. And, something wrong.
And it would sure put a whole lot more people in the stands up there in Jacksonville, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Folks, the beauty of competition is you learn how to lose. We are the American Adversaries. We will be back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Okay, let's go now to Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Ted, concerning Obamacare, we've heard about glitches, quote-unquote, but Rex has also uncovered a breach. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Chris, it just gets scarier and scarier. In one of the first breaches of Obamacare, a Minnesota insurance broker, he reached out to Obamacare to get information, which you know is almost impossible to get. And instead, back in his email box, he got a document filled with the names, Social Security numbers, and other pieces of personal information for 2,400 insurance agents in Minnesota.
And breaches of security are probably going to be common with this type of sharing of information, correct?
Well, I mean, you can only imagine if you've been on the site, you enter your information, it goes into the abyss of somewhere, and with each state having its own program, like this one in Minnesota was called M-Insure, it's just nobody knows where it's going, and they already have set up, as we've talked about before, and SoundbiteRx has on the site, they've already talked about how there's a fraud unit set up for this to happen already. So this is one of the first breaches we're aware of. I'm sure there have been other breaches that have happened.
And, in fact, we cautioned our listeners and visitors to SoundbiteRx.com to be very careful with handling people who ask for their information. And this was evidently an inadvertent breach that was discovered by an honest person, but who knows where the next one is going to go. Ted, concerning the glitches, we've heard that there have been many glitches, the president has said, because there are so many people coming to the site. Is that correct?
Well, Chris, I think, again, that's just a spin on things. The site itself is already inherently problematic, and so to say that it's based on the volume is unfair. I think that if you go on the system, which I have been on, you'll see that even some of the drop-down boxes aren't working. There's information there that you can't click on, you can't fill in properly, and again, it's simply that the system isn't set up. We think at SoundbiteRx.com that they have obviously jumped the gun, and the system's not ready. It's absolutely not ready.
They're not ready, but SoundbiteRx.com is. So, folks, take the cure for ignorance. Go to SoundbiteRx.com. Thanks, Ted. Back to the show.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Okay, that's right, folks. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time. 407-774-8255 is the number. Our executive producer, Nostradamus, is going to join us here momentarily. We have in the studio with us Mike McBath and Reggie Branch, both from the NFL. And, Mike, I want to go to you first here because you've told me that something special is going to happen right here in Orlando come next spring. Please tell our listeners.
Well, I think it's very, very nice. As you know, I've been the past president of the Retired Player Association. I've been on the board. This will be my fourth term. I'm the longest elected former player, elected by former players. And I'm always lobbying for Orlando for whatever we can bring down here. We're fortunate enough to have guys like Reggie and Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, and many, many named guys who are part of our organization that have done many, many wonderful things in this community, of which they've never really gotten recognition for, which is okay. All they're caring mm-hmm. about is who they can help.
We're trying to give you some.
I know. But the nice thing about it is that in March, you know, we're going to have both the retired players convention here and the current players. And then I get some people there still can't figure out, you know, the player association to go, hello, you can't play in the NFL unless you belong to the player association. All players belong to the association who are current players. And we'll have many of the player reps down here. Normally a guy that's always involved is Drew Brees. You know, he's what a great guy he is. You know, and they've had just massive number of superstars. And so we're going to have it in Orlando March 19th to about the 21st. It's going to be at the Waldorf Astoria. Obviously, each day they're going to have in the mornings, they're going to have functions where they educate our players on their benefits. And then in the evening, they're going to educate them on the type of foods and drink the drink.
Going to have the meetings right here.
Reggie's yeah. going to be tutoring a lot of them on this issue. But, you know, it's
but
always.
That's great that it's coming yes. to Orlando.
It is in Orlando. Right. And we're also going to have some events, probably like Orlando-related events. And I know we will be doing some coaches' clinics with a lot of these players. Which is going to be pretty unique to the community, and we do this with every community we go to. Last year, we were in the Bahamas, the year before that, Marco Island, the year before that, Hawaii. You know, so we usually rotate throughout the country. But always remember this, the second most players in the United States that are former NFL players and current players come from what state? Florida. They've got three teams here, you know. So, you know, great opportunity, great place to have a convention. And certainly fun and work will be taken care of. And Reggie's going to be there this year.
Excellent. Well, that's great news for Orlando. Speaking of superstars, Nostradamus, you're a superstar around here. How about that news?
Yeah, I love that. And, Mike, I have two words for you. Press pass.
No, you mean press pass is.
Good enough, yeah.
I thought you were thinking of food.
Food and wine.
That's right. We're trying to make you a cut individual. You know what I mean?
You know, Mike, you're right. Florida has three NFL franchises, which is three times as many as the state of New York has.
Oh, I know.
As the Bills. That's it.
Excuse me. The Bills play tonight. And, this will be a big one against Cleveland. It's hard to get, I know I hate to say this, hard to get excited about Cleveland playing Buffalo, but my prediction.
A challenge right up there.
The Bills will win this tonight, and I will, and the reason I say that is I know Hoyer is the quarterback for Cleveland. This is the second game starting. We have a young guy, E.J. Manuel from Florida State, who seems to be progressively moving along.
Yep.
We have two wins. We lost to the Patriots by two.
Not bad.
And not bad. And then we lost to, this is bad, we lost to the Jets by seven late in the game. But I think the Bills' defense will, you know, overcome our friends in Cleveland. Hopefully.
Now, Mike and Reggie, I want to ask each of you a question. You might have different answers. Which team so far at the quarter pole you think is the most disappointing in the NFL?
I'm going to be honest with you, though. Right now, though, I would say, I'm not going to say the Redskins.
So, you know what I was thinking about there, Reggie? For how good they were supposed to be, they might be.
I'm not going to say them, though. But
what about the Bucks?
You know, as for one thing, the Bucks, though, it's like for one thing, I thought as having Friedman as, you know, he haven't did bad in what, he been in there, what, a couple of years now?
Yep.
And as a situation, you know, I thought he'd come through and take it to that next level. As supposed to take it to that next level after 2 years and going on 3 years, you should be in that next level, though, I'll be honest with you, though. But that's what I think, though.
I would actually, no offense, Reggie, but I actually think for how good we thought they were going to be, the Redskins would be one. And I think the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a constant disappointment.
Yeah.
I've never seen, because I think Romo is a
reasonable
quarterback,
yeah, right.
But they never end up going anywhere. And and it looks like this year, other than the fact that the division isn't very good, you know, because you got the Eagles, who this is going to be a great game this weekend, the Eagles-Giants.
Oh, that's going to be a great
exciting.
Game.
You know, but,
as long as they lose.
I mean,
we're going to win this week, though. I think we got to buy, so it's like.
And if the Redskins turn it, then fine. But I think the Redskins could buy for, meaning not the worst, disappointed, I mean, psychologically. Okay. You know.
Hey, Dennis, so you had a question you wanted to ask Mike about a college game.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Dennis.
10 days ago, I was wondering who your son Taylor McBath was rooting for.
He's a UCFer. He knows you got to be a chameleon. You roll with the flow. So, you know, I told him, wear a half shirt, you know, on the front UCF, on the back Penn State, and the Penn State win, switch the shirt.
What do you think about UCF's program? They seem to have finally, if you will, made it to the top-notch football program, one of the top-notch football programs
in
the country.
Reggie and me were commenting on it, even driving over here, is, you know, I think George is, you know, he's from the old school. He doesn't tolerate
George
anything.
George O'Leary, the coach.
Yeah, and I am a big fan of that style of coaching. I'm sure Reggie can comment on that. And it's a case that he has really put together a very talented team.
Yes,
and,
he did.
You know, hopefully, and Louisville's going to be a big one to try to beat, but if they could get by Louisville, they're headed to a big-time bowl game, which would really just excite the community. And I just hope that they can build a constant following where they can get a lot more sellouts, you know, than one or two a year.
Yeah.
But I think they got their opportunity with Louisville. I think they got a big-time quarterback, some big-time receivers. And, Reggie, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, though, is like when I watched them, like, have somebody call me up, though, and ask me about what you think about South Carolina and, like, University of Florida playing to them. I said, you know what, it's going to be a good game. And I think, like, the theater, I said, you know, as they beat Penn State, I said, that's a great win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's funny.
Of course, Mike played at Penn State. Reggie, I know you told us last time, but remind me, where'd you play your college ball?
East Carolina
East
University.
Carolina, that's right. Okay.
So it's like
Pirates.
Yo, that's
there
what I'm
go.
Talking about, baby.
Yeah.
It's a situation that we beat North Carolina last week, though, as 21-3. So it's like we on the right track, too, though. See, I understand where UCF is going. They're going to that next level also. And what we're trying to do is do the same thing and still be in the same.
At NC State.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That same thing. So I look at it like what I loved about Coach O'Leary as when he made that statement about that kid supposed to have been – you know, as doing what he's supposed to do, not doing what he's not supposed to do.
Right.
That's what I love about how he disciplined both of them and
he's
came up to that situation.
He's kind of from the old school.
What you're supposed to be.
I
just got to say that.
He's from the paterno area. I mean, if you're out of line, it's time to sit you down. Hopefully you learn a life lesson. And, you know, with the fellows that you were talking about, UCF sat, they were an integral part of the team. And the point is, fellas, you're sitting down. I don't care if we win or we lose. And that's what really a good coach is there for, is to make sure they understand right from wrong and the consequences of bad actions. So, you know, I'm a big fan of his style of discipline, you know.
I love that. I just got to say this, though. I think, and I know this for a fact, UCS is going in the right direction, though. And I can tell you that right now.
Let me ask you something real quick before we go to the break. George Diaz has written a couple of articles this week about Coach Shano over there at Tampa Bay and how it looks like he may be heading out the door behind Freeman, Josh Freeman. And he makes the point, you know, he's another college coach that couldn't do it at the NFL level. Is there something innately different about coaching at the college level that just kind of doesn't work? Because Spurrier was pretty much a flop at the Redskins, remember? Is there something that's just entirely different about coaching at each level that it just kind of doesn't work at the other one?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about Spurrier and the rest of these fellows, I think when you have an authoritarian attitude towards the players. You know, Shiano is he thinks he's a real tough guy type attitude, and I think you got to, you know, be a little bit more bending, et cetera, not greatly.
A little more coaxing,
but,
maybe?
But, you know, there's something wrong, and I do know some fellows who actually coached with him, because remember, in the Northeast, and they weren't really thrilled with the guy. These were coaches with the guy. So there's something astray on that whole group. And it's a case that I would bet, like the article said, at best he is one more year.
You think so?
It's just not going to work out.
You think the same thing?
I mean, you know, the way I look at it, though, and I would say this, though. I'd say when you come into a situation in that manner, though, you're talking about this and you're talking about that, most of that you need to keep it into the team atmosphere to let them understand, though. It's like, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to have that. But I don't want to put it out in the media and let people know about what's going on, because it's a family atmosphere. But as the situation, though, as it comes out, And whatever happens, it comes out and let them deal with that accordingly, though. That's the way I look at it, though.
Okay. All right. We're going to have on the show with us next a man who's responsible for us getting to meet Mike McBath, and that's going to be Colonel Danny McKnight. And stay with us, Dr. Dennis, and you folks, too. Please stay with us. We are the American Adversaries. It is drive time, and we will be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Folks, we only have a few minutes left here for this final segment. We want to get right to it because we have our great friend, Colonel Danny McKnight, on. And, Colonel, this is the 20th anniversary of the Black Hawk Down incident, and I've got to ask you a question, friend. Where are you today?
Well, right now, we're in the car. We're headed to the VFW that's named after Sergeant Casey Joyce, and that is, what's the name of that? In Plano, Texas. I couldn't remember which town I was going to, but
yeah, I've been there.
Plano, Texas, and the VFW is named after Sergeant Joyce. So that we're going to have a evening there, dinner and everything, with a whole bunch of people.
It's no wonder you can't keep up. I mean, you guys have been on the road constantly for the past few days, visiting your fallen Rangers. And today, 20 years ago, Danny, the mission did start. It was a fairly routine mission as it started. Just what are you feeling today when you think back on that it was 20 years ago today that all that began?
Well, when I think about the fact that it was 20 years ago, I pretty much believe that's impossible that it was 20 years ago. I just don't think that that could have been that long ago, but it is, like you said. And I think, the other thing about today is, with 20 years, we're finally getting the opportunity to get a lot of people together, that we haven't had the chance to have with us. As we're driving right now, as a matter of fact, Sergeant Dominic Pila's sister is in the back seat with her husband because they're going to the VFW with us right now.
Is that right? Would you mind putting her on the phone just for 1 second?
They want to say something to you, Jennifer.
Is that all right?
Her name is Jennifer.
Okay, all right. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Jennifer?
Yes.
Hey, this is Chris Hart, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Lair Adams, and we also have Mike McBath and Reggie Branch of the former NFL players, and we just want to, you know, express our gratitude for your family and your brother, and he is a true American hero, and God bless y'all, and, you know, I don't know what else really to say. You know, I can't say anything that's, you know, could bring you comfort other than that there are so very many Americans out here who appreciate him and appreciate his life. And we are all Americans are beholden to him and men like him. And thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for your kind words. It's nice to know that there's so many great Americans that feel the way you do. And we really do appreciate it and take comfort in that. Thank you.
Okay. And listen, you folks have a great trip. And thanks for spending a moment with us.
You're so welcome. Here, I'm going to give you back to Danny.
Okay. All right. Colonel McKnight. Colonel McKnight, are you back with us?
I'm back.
Okay, listen, Mike's in the studio here. He wants to say something to you.
I do want to say something. It's a little bit different subject. I want to apologize to your wife, Dan, about the Penn State-UCF game. Because, you know, she's a Penn Stater, and I know she might have been a bit unnerved at that situation. But tell her we'll be in Dublin next year playing UCF at the end of August. So hopefully there'll be a different outcome. If not, there'll be a lot of beer to drink.
Mike, there's a good chance that we might be there too.
Oh, it's going to be a great event for, you know, both schools and everything. And I know there's a tremendous amount of people from Central Florida going over. You know, that's right, for the game. not the beer.
Colonel, my youngest daughter graduated from UCF, Mike, so I have to be a little careful.
That's right. You're going to have to wear split shirts, you know, UCF on the front, Penn State in the back, and then switch them, whoever wins.
her and Mike's son, Taylor.
Sure. Colonel, the flip side of what happened 20 years ago, you were out there, you were in the middle of this. I remember my daughter was 8 years old. I was totally clueless as to what was going on, and I think most of America was. And then I'm sure you guys, you come back, and what were your thoughts when you came back as to how the rest of this country was looking at that incident?
I missed the question part of that, Laura. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite right. Yeah, basically 20 years ago, people here in America, yeah, the event of Black Hawk Down, we weren't exactly sure what was going on. We weren't even sure how to feel about it.
Yeah. And, you know, it really was kept pretty low-key even after we got back. It seemed like, you know, people were upset. They were upset when they saw, of course, soldiers drug through the streets and stuff of that nature. But we made sure that we accounted for everybody and brought them all back home. And I guess that was something that made it easier for people because, you know, we still remember Vietnam and we didn't do that. But we did it this time, you know. So I think that made some people think, well, it's all okay then. But, you know, it wasn't really all okay. And that, you know, part of the message that it should have gotten out didn't. And as you know, that's the reason I wrote the book I wrote, because I think there was more to it than people have ever known. And I thought they deserved to know the rest of the story. And I think it does give people a different opinion of, wow, they didn't let the soldiers do what they were sent there to do.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Danny. We're running a little short on time. I want to give Nostra Dennis a chance to say something, and then we kind of have to pretty much move on. Nostra Dennis.
Yeah, Danny, is it fair to say that the media at the time really, really liked the commander-in-chief and was deliberately playing it down, and that most of America really didn't hear about the Black Hawk Down incident that really was an addition to their consciousness until Hollywood made a movie out of it?
You know, you are 100% right. That's the reason I applaud Mark Bowden for writing the book and the movie for being done, because until then, nobody really had an idea of what really took place. So, yes, I agree.
Colonel McKnight, any final thoughts before we let you go tonight?
No, it's just that starting tonight, we finished the first part of the journey. As you know, yesterday we talked.
Yep.
And we start the other part now, but this is going to be the more pleasant part because we're getting to see old friends that fought together, and we're going to be together for a lot of us first time in 20 years.
You holding up okay?
Yep.
Well, listen,
it'll be all right.
Listen, Colonel, we hope to talk to you Sunday night during our Sunday night show, and you go with our blessings, and thank you so very much for spending some time again with us this afternoon.
You bet. You bet. Looking forward to talking to you.
All right, and tell Linda Hay, please. Okay.
Be careful.
All right, folks. He has visited Corporal James Cavaco, who he called the Quiet Pro. He has visited Sergeant Dominique Pila, whose sister was in the car with him. Dominique Pila enjoyed life. He has visited Sergeant Casey Joyce, the leader. He has visited PFC Richard Kowalewski, the quiet youngest ranger. Corporal Jamie Smith, who was loved by everyone. And Sergeant Luenzo Ruiz, who he spent Luenzo Ruiz's last night with, watching a baseball game, just the two of them, in Mogadishu. Great sports fans, great heroes. Reggie, I'll give you the last word.
All I got to say, though, thank all the military personnel that's working and, you know, as just being a part of, like, hearing that, though, the situation, though, it's hard for me to, like, get my bearings, though, but it's like, thank all the military personnel that protect us and that guide us and, like, and take us.
The real heroes.
Yeah, the real heroes. Well, I can say that, though.
But you guys are a couple of gridiron heroes, and I want to thank you for being with us, Mike and Richard.
You guys know as well as we do, when we play on Sundays, it's a game. When they play, it's for real. And, boy, you have to have the greatest admiration for all these people.
And when they lose, they really lose.
They really lose, right.
Okay. All right, folks, so we're out of time tonight. Guys, I want to thank you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here in the near future, and it's been a lot of fun. Next time you come back, Reggie, I want you to tell us what it was like when you walked out on that football field, Super Bowl Sunday, and the stands were full and the excitement was there. I'm going to have to let you be the one because Mike don't know.
I don't know. I have no clue.
That's a low blow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
Hit below the bell. We are the
I like that one.
Hey, ask him about golf.
Back tomorrow night, 5 o'clock.
That's the button.